What Must I Do? By Randolph Dunn and Joe McKinney. I must recognize that I am a sinner who needs a Savior. Many people do not feel the need for a Savior because they do not feel they are lost in need of forgiveness. Whether it comes through hearing a moving sermon, maybe a friend who shares with you the truth, maybe by reading a tract, whichever, in some way, you must come to understand that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3 verse 23. As the prophet Isaiah had said long ago, our sins have hidden God's face from us so that he will not hear, Isaiah 59 verse 2. Our own sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 verse 23. This is a spiritual death, which is a separation from God for those who are lost. But what about my good works, someone may say? The answer is, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2 verses 8-9. But my sins are small, others say, but for whoever shall keep the whole law, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. James 2 verse 10. Human pride and self-sufficiency are the greatest barriers to salvation. He who refuses to admit that he is a sinner in need of forgiveness is lost and cannot be saved. Have you understood the despair of being a sinner in need of a Savior? I must recognize that Jesus is the only hope of salvation. There is no other way to salvation. By his death on the cross, Jesus is able to save, set free, and ransom sinners. In John 14 verse 6, Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." The only way we can get to God is through Christ. We also read in Acts 4 verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We cannot be saved by relying on Muhammad, Buddha, Judaism, Hindu gods, or any religion organization. Neither can we devise our own system of Christianity, as is being done today and expected to save us. Only Jesus Christ can specify the conditions for our salvation because he paid our price and is our only Savior. There is no other way. Are you ready to throw yourself down at the feet of the only one who can save you, Jesus the Christ? I must believe the good news that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a perfect life, was crucified, the perfect atoning sacrifice, for my sins, was buried, arose from the dead on the third day and now lives forever at God's right hand to intercede for those in Christ's body, his church, a living organism, not some organization. What Jesus did for us is called the gospel, meaning good news. In Mark, Jesus tells us we must believe this gospel to be saved. Mark 16 verses 15-16, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." What a story it is! God in human form, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, passed through so many temptations but never sinned. 1 Peter 2 verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps." He did so many signs and miracles to prove his divinity. John 20 verses 30-31, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." He died for us, a sacrifice to God for all our sins. Hebrews 1 verses 10-14, he also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, they will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Finally, he was raised from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God. Romans 1 verses 4-5, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1, Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. What a wonderful story! I must repent of my sins. Jesus says in Luke 13 verse 3, Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It is either repent or perish, the choice is ours. Acts 17 verse 30 says, Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. All people everywhere, and that includes you and me, are commanded by God to repent. Repent of what? Repent of our sins. Repent of not fully serving and following all that God says. God is pleading with us to repent. He greatly desires that we turn to him. He tells us in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to repent so we can be saved. He is patiently waiting on us. But eventually, our time will run out. The longer we put off repentance, the harder our heart gets. Repentance is not just being sorry. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says, For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Repentance is a change of heart and a change of mind. We must make up our minds to stop living life our way and start living it God's way. It is making up our minds that we are going to serve God with all our might and do everything he says. Matthew 22 verse 37, Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, we must do it with all of our being. Romans 2 verse 4 states, The goodness of God leads you to repentance. God has been so good to us, and this should cause us to want to please him in every way. God, because of his love for us, has done so much for us, and because of this we read in 1 John 4 verse 19, We love him, because he first loved us. This should cause us to want to repent and do all the things that he has asked us to do, otherwise, we do not love God. Jesus said in John 14 verse 24, He who does not love me, does not keep my words. Do you love God? If you do, you will want to do everything that he says. In John 14 verse 15 Jesus says, If you love me keep my commandments. Are you willing to show your love to God by repenting? By renouncing all your sins and disobedience? By deciding that you will give your life over to following and obeying Jesus? Jesus said, Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me, Mark 8 verse 34. Have you decided that you do not want to sin anymore? If so, you are now ready to be united with Christ. I must confess Jesus. Jesus wants us to confess him before men. In Matthew 10 verses 32 to 33 he says, Therefore whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. If we deny Christ we are going to be lost. We must not be ashamed to confess to other people that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus says in Mark 8 verse 38, For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. If he is ashamed of us, that means that we are going to be lost. There are several examples of people confessing their faith in Christ in the Bible. One is found in Matthew 16 verses 16 to 17, Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Christ was well pleased with Peter's confession and he will be with ours also. In Acts 8 verses 36 to 37 a man asked the question, See here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then in verse 37, then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the good confession. But there is more. We not only confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we also confess him as our Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10 verse 9. We name him as our leader, owner, ruler, chief, boss, the one who has all the authority over our lives. Someday everyone will make this confession, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2 verses 10-11, but for some, it will be too late. Are you ready to confess to others that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he is now the Lord and Master of your life? I must be immersed. Acts 2 verse 38, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are to be baptized, immersed, in order to receive the forgiveness of all our sins. Acts 22 verse 16, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Compiler's comment, after declaring that Jesus was God in human form and the calling on God to forgive then through the act of immersion in water, baptism, God washes away one's sins by the blood of Christ, not the water. To call on the name of the Lord means to invoke him to action. Calling on the name of the Lord, pleading for him to forgive, wash away our sins and save us. End of comment. 1 Peter 3 verse 21, corresponding to that, 8 souls saved by water in the ark, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism, according to Peter, is not an outer cleansing of dirt from the physical body. Rather, the baptism that saves us is an appeal, plea, to God for a good conscience. Baptism is a prayer, an appeal, a pleading to God for an inner cleansing of the guilty soul. Therefore, baptism into Christ is the true biblical sinner's prayer. What saves us from our sins? The blood of Jesus. When does the blood of Jesus save us? When we call upon God to cleanse us through baptism. So where lies the saving power? It is in the atoning blood of Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the event that validated the worth of his death on the cross. Faith, baptism links us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Being baptized into his death, and being united with him in his resurrection, Romans 6 verses 3-5, is how salvation comes to us in baptism. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, which comes from being united, reconciled, with God in Christ is given when our trusting hearts appeal to God for a good conscience. We do this when we are baptized, immersed. Baptism is faith crying out, a prayer, to God to save us based on the death of Christ on the cross, the atoning sacrifice. Do you need to be baptized? I must be faithful until death. Colossians 1 verses 21-23, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, and blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Revelation 2 verse 10, Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is only a brief outline of God's will for your life. Those who enter in the way of Christ spend their whole lives seeking his perfection, preparing for eternal life that the saved will enjoy in his presence. Now you must decide. Each one of us will choose our own eternal destiny. Which will your decision be? Matthew 7 verses 13-14, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. God's invitation to the world. Matt 11:28-30, Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 Corinthians 2:9-11, But as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Matthew 28:18-20, And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Mark 1:14-15, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, and believe in the gospel. Matthew 6:33-34, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Romans 6:16-19, Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Acts 4:10-12, Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no guarantee of a tomorrow. The tragedy is that nobody must lose heaven and gain hell. The choice is ours. We are free to determine our own eternal destiny. If heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, then hell is a place prepared for an unprepared people. 2 Corinthians 6:2, Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. John 15:10, If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Those, in Christ, living for the afterlife must be aware of temptations constantly set before them by the devil, as there are examples in both the Old Testament and New Testament of God's children disobeying God and going back into the ways of the world. Those not in Christ need to seriously consider their relationship with God. What the Bible says about how to get in Christ. Here, study diligently and read what Christ taught, for they are the words of life. Understand that. All people, men and women, are sinful, having disobeyed God's righteous ways and commands. One's unforgiven sin will result in my eternal death. One must be forgiven to have eternal life with God. Christ is the only way for me to be forgiven of all my sins. Believe, Jesus was and is God. He came to earth in human flesh as Jesus of Nazareth. He lived among men. He willingly gave his sinless physical life as the perfect and only sacrifice for my sins, being crucified. He was buried. God raised him from the grave on the third day. He appeared to hundreds following his resurrection. His ascension back to heaven to be with the Father was witnessed by his disciples. Repent, change from sin and disobedience to trust and obedience. Confess, acknowledge your belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Seek, call upon God to forgive you of your sins. Die, put to death your old, sinful, worldly life. Be buried, put your dead sinful life in the grave of baptism by water immersion into his death, allowing God to raise you from the grave as a new cleansed creation. Receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Become, as a new Christian, God added you, as his adopted child, to the other children into Christ's church. Live, continue to live steadfastly and obediently to Christ and the apostles' teachings. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 verses 1-3. Take action, the right time is now.